In what ways specifically would funding grant scientists like yourself more freedom to study the undocumented species?
So there's a group of scientists, a class of scientists called taxonomists and biosystematists. And our role is to discover species, to discern species, to work out what species are out there, to name them, to classify them, and to describe them so that other people can recognise them for purposes of conservation or discovery of new drugs or agriculture or biosecurity, all of those sorts of things. And in, as you said, we've been at it for around 200 years in Australia, since the first European exploration of Australia. Taxonomists have been studying, naming and classifying Australia's organisms, and we're about 30% there. Australia is extremely diverse. It's a mega-diverse country biologically. We have more species in Australia than almost all other countries in the world, and so we have a very large task. However, if with new technologies, with all of these new things available to us, genome scans and supercomputers and in a network world, we think we could do it in a generation if we have enough resources to train up enough people to get stuck into the task.
Yeah, wow. It sounds like the grant the funding grant would be very, very important and able to do that kind of thing. According to the Australian Wildlife Conservancy, 10 Australian birds have no better than a 50-50 chance of surviving during the next two decades. Why aren't most people aware of the crisis in regards to birds and, I guess, wildlife in general?
Look, I think the extinction crisis, of course, is something that many people in their daily lives, I suppose, don't notice. It creeps up on us a bit, but scientific studies have shown that not only are species in great danger of extinction, but even ones that are common, their numbers are just plummeting. But I need to just make it clear that in this report and the plan that was released by the Academy of Science and the Royal Society of New Zealand, this is a plan that's shared between the two countries, we're talking about the most fundamental level of this problem. If we don't know what species are out there, then how are we going to know whether our conservation efforts are going? You know, if undocumented species go extinct, we simply never know about them. Doing the taxonomy doesn't of itself prevent extinction. We also need to conserve, to have, you know, good conservation policies. But taxonomy and systematics is the first step, if you like, and we regard it an extremely important first step.
Yeah, absolutely. I guess it would inform us greatly on how our conservation efforts are going and whether we need to step it up or change the pace that we're doing it. Studying new species, I have read of marine sponges and mosquitoes could actually help manage future risks. Could you elaborate on how they might help?
Yep, two really good examples. So some work that has been done at the, particularly at the Queensland Museum and in New Zealand, has been studying and documenting marine sponges in Australia's and New Zealand's and Antarctic waters. Sponges are really, really interesting creatures. When you think about it, they live on the seabed and they don't move. That means that many things want to compete with their space. There are lots of things that want to eat sponges or take over their living space. So sponges indulge in chemical warfare. They have an amazing array of toxins that they use in order that they can survive. And toxins are a really, really good potential source of new drugs. So this work that was done in documenting our sponges has led to pharmaceuticals, to chemicals that can be used to combat AIDS and malaria, potentially new antibiotics to deal with multi-drug-resistant tuberculosis. And if we don't know what our sponge species are, then our chances of being able to make those discoveries are greatly reduced. Every species that either goes extinct or that is not documented is a missed opportunity. Mosquitoes, very, very different situation. We estimate that we have around between 200 and 300 species of entirely undocumented, unnamed, unknown, unstudied native mosquitoes in Australia. Any of those could carry diseases either now or in the future. And of course, the diseases are also biodiversity. If we don't document the diseases that are out there, that are, say, you know, the disease of kangaroos, that mosquitoes are biting kangaroos, and that disease could jump across into humans, and we could have a new Zika virus or something like that. And if we don't understand these things, then we're just going to be behind the eight ball when it happens.
Yeah, right. It sounds like it's a very important thing that we do get on top of it. I guess what other species require more investigation and have this kind of potential to either unlock new cures or warn us about new diseases?
Look, the simple answer to that is all of them. Any species could potentially have things in it, have properties, have chemicals, have ways of doing things that could be really important for us to understand. Not only those examples that I gave, but studies have shown that the eyes of moths, for instance, have an extraordinary micro nanoscale pattern on their surface, which nobody had really thought about before, but it means that the eyes are very good at gathering light. And these nanoscale patterns have been applied to the surfaces of solar panels, which makes them more efficient. There are just so many things out there in nature. Nature has been experimenting. It's been doing research and development for billions of years. So any groups of organisms could have properties that are really, really important to us, quite apart from the fact that, you know, it's our duty to conserve our biodiversity for its own sake, not only for our sake.
Yeah, of course. Now, I guess, what is the next move for the Academy? Is there anything individuals can do to help with the movement?
So the decadal plan that we released on Friday is really calling for greater public awareness of this issue. We have documented a plan for the sorts of capacity building and the sorts of things that we need to do in the next 10 years in order to set ourselves up for what I call hyper-taxonomy, for a hyper-acceleration of the documentation of our living organisms. And we, as a community of taxonomists and systematists, really want to name all of Australia's creatures by mid-century. So the plan sets out the way in which we could do that. And, of course, what we need now is community understanding and support, and hence government support for capacity building towards that aim.